I'd like to call the order City Council, meeting of the City Council, City of Shore Acres, Monday, November 11th, 2013, at 7 p.m. First order of business is roll call.
Stephen Jones, present.
Nancy Stewart, present.
Bo Bunker, present.
Pat Weber, present.
Rick Rosen, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
Next item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On this Veterans Day, I'd like to thank all the veterans who are past, present, and future. The first item on the agenda are special presentations. This is one of the things that is very near and dear to my heart. It's probably one of the most enjoyable things one can do as a city mayor, and that is to present awards. And this evening we have a very special award. This evening we have the Life Saving Award for Officer Steve Ford. It's my understanding that Officer Ford provided CPR to one of our residents while the EMS were en route, and it was stated by those folks that his actions saved a life. And that is, in my opinion, a very great thing for this community. It's my understanding that Mr. and Mrs. Gibson, I believe it is, the recipients of such of those actions are here as well. Is there anything you would like to say to Officer Ford at this time?
I just want to say how awesome he is. When they got Tom to the hospital, they told me that undoubtedly he would not have lived without the officer's work. He did. As soon as he got there, he took charge. He said, "I want to help. Let me do my thing." And he actually saved his life. He was down, I think they said, 6 minutes without oxygen. And so for him to even be here is a miracle. No doubt he would not be here without his help.
Thank you all. Sure.
I would have never recognized them until they told me who y'all were, because y'all were totally different. This is just a week ago. I'm astonished. Just a week ago.
Yeah, he was kind of ICU. They were clothes. And we came down here to thank you. We're not going to stay for the whole meeting because people were out. But the only side effects he's had so far, other than the heart problems and the skin, when you woke up in ICU, he said, "What is wrong with my chest?" And I said, "The officer that saved your life did that with the CPR." And he said, "I'm going to shoot him."
It
<wouldn't>
hurt.
So he was kind of But he's got short-term memory loss from being down. But that should go away. There's no need, hopefully. So.
The notification reads, "With great respect and admiration, the City of Shore Acres hereby recognizes Jerry Steve Ford, who is hereby awarded the Life Saving Commendation Award for the Life Preserving First Aid CPR he provided to a Shore Acres citizen on the 4th day of November 2013. Signed by myself." And
good teacher.
Good job.
Good teacher.
And if you very well, very well. And I have every confidence that Mr. Stauffer will make a copy available to you. And the Gibsons, if you would come up, if you would like to have a picture with Officer Ford. job. Oh, you want to go here?
We'll get you right in the middle.
There you go.
Next item on the agenda, approval of minutes.
Mrs. Ford seemed to have a little technical difficulty with her smarter than most phone, like we do at times, the 30 with it, to make sure that you know.
Thank you, Nancy. The next item on the agenda is item 4.0, approval of the minutes. The regular council meeting, October 20th, 2013. Council has had a chance to review those minutes. We'll entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mike. Thank you very much. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Abstained.
With Mike, I'm sorry, Stephen abstaining, the motion carries. Thanks, sir. On 5.0, special reports and requests. There are no meetings that were attended at this time by myself. Were there any meetings attended by council? Okay, well, next item on the agenda is 6.0, public hearings and public comments. Item 6.1, Scott Tuma, addressing a curb at West Country Club and South Country Club. Scott, thank you for coming today. Be so kind as to address your name and address.
All right. My name is Scott Tuma at 1220 South Country Club Drive. And I have some pictures from today. I'll kind of have noted on the side, actually on the back end, of what we're going to be referring to. Pass those through. I want to thank council, mayor, and staff for having us. Thank you very much. I'll see if I can get my notes going now. Mainly what I'm looking at doing is addressing the curve at South Country Club and West Country Club. It is a blind turn. As our road's been recently redone by the construction project of the drainage and street project, so people feel now they can go faster on this road. Two things I'd like to do is increase the warning signs approaching and leaving this area on both sides because of limited sight distance and a warning to the dangerous curve, and also like to reduce the speed limit to 10 miles per hour on for this curve section. And looking at on the pictures, I have some notes on the back end. We went through and took pictures at basically found the center of the curve, went 190 feet both sides of it, and took pictures at 190 feet, 140 feet, and 90 feet, just kind of see where we can see the center point of the curve. So what I did is I have a cone, so I put a cone there in the center, and then we took pictures as we went forward, and then try to note it when we can see the point there. About 90 feet coming either direction is when you can see the curve, so you get an oncoming car at 90 feet. Now, if two cars are traveling at 30 miles per hour on this turn, they're approaching each other at 60 miles per hour, essentially. Basically, they're coming at each other at 88 feet per second, so it's less than 1 second they have to react. Many times we're there, we can see cars coming along South Country Club, traveling in the left-hand lane on this turn. So essentially, it's a head-on situation if a car comes on West Country Club. So at that speed, we're seeing them travel about, and then with the new road, about 30 to 40 miles per hour on this road in this section now. So that's coming up to 88 to 110 feet per second they're approaching each other. So that's why we really like to, we feel it's a safety issue to address this and drop it down. I feel the drivers need a warning to be able to manage and navigate the roadway. If they had some kind of warning sign saying sharp turn ahead, warning, caution, slow down. In this area, as with in all Shore Acres, there's a lot of deer, rabbits, and small children in this area. The new ditches have been re-sloped and regraded, so The roads have been raised, so the ditches appear to be deeper and steeper, so it gives the drivers a really hard time to have an in and out of where if they do have an incident or a situation. The shoulder is only about 1 foot in this area. It's very soft. So if they tried to move over, they may end up rolling in the ditch. And then looking at kind of some of the references I pulled is looking at ASHTO, which is the American Association for State Highway and Transportation Officials. A lot of cities are using this as a reference guide. City I work for does. And looking at the, and quoting on site distance, section 602.1.6, minimum stopping distance should range from 120 to 200 feet. Passing site distance is not applicable. Corner intersection site distance should range from 210 to 310 feet. And, in the pictures and the experiment we took today, we have 90, maybe 100 feet if you're lucky, if you're in the far lane looking across. So this kind of, and again, I'd like to ask council to consider and to review and have staff look at adding some dangerous curve signs and then drop them to have an ordinance to drop the speed limit down to 10 miles per hour on this curve. That's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you, sir.
No problem. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Next on the agenda, we have Christina Tuma, speed limit on South Kensington. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for having me. First, I would like to point out that there are currently five streets already in the ordinance 2012-124, section 62-126, that already have a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. South Country Club is not one of them. However, their sister street, North Country Club, does. It is zoned for, I guess the ordinance states 20 miles per hour, and there's a sign that states it's 20 miles per hour. That's great. When you get to South Country Club, there's one sign on all of South Country Club, and it states 20 miles per hour. However, it is really 30 miles per hour based on the ordinance. So, our lovely officers cannot issue tickets, because in fact, most people are not speeding over the 20. Well, they are at the curve. They're going about 40. But, so it's hard for the officers to issue tickets. We really need to, for the safety, to get it down to 20. It's the speeding will make citizens fear for their child safety. It makes pedestrians and bicyclists fear for their safety. And now that we have a great new street, thank you very much, we have a lot more people walking and riding their bikes. So this is a much more heightened concern for us. A higher speed limit increases the risk of vehicle crashes. It increases the seriousness of injuries to a speeder's own passengers and other drivers and passengers. Speeding increases the risk of crashes and injuries for several reasons. The driver is more likely to lose control. The vehicle safety equipment is less effective. The distance it takes to stop the vehicle is greater. And the vehicle travels farther during the time it takes the driver to react to a hazard. So, with all that said, my prayer is that we can reduce the speed limit on South Country Club to 20 miles per hour, that we add new speed limit signs once you are on, so as before and after the curve, or I guess when you get to South Country Club, you need a 20 mile per hour speed limit sign, and then when you're coming off of center and turning on to South Country Club, either going east or west, you would need to have another speed limit sign as well for 20 miles per hour. And last but not least, issuing tickets and citations for those speeders that will not obey the law. And that is my prayer.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
The next item on the agenda is citizens' comments. Anyone who wishes to address the council at this time is invited to come to the podium and give your name, address, and 5 minutes. Yes, sir.
Michael Schnell, 618 Bedwood Street. I just want to let everybody know that the truth is out there. I'm reading on websites that there are certain people in the community that think that there is a conspiracy theory against certain people that sit on council My name comes up often in that, and I just want to let everybody know what the truth is. Truth is, several days after the storm, I was indeed arrested for a weapons charge for protecting my neighbor's property several days after we came back from the storm. The arresting officer was Officer Newman. Indeed, very polite, did his job, took me to jail. With that being said, Chief Franks was the officer that directed him to arrest me for that charge. That takes away the conspiracy theory that there's nothing against Officer Newman that anybody has in my family that would lead to this theory. Chief Franks, indeed, was the one that directed him to arrest me. We had Chief Franks at our house, gave him a party and a plaque after he left the city. So I just wanted to let everybody know so that they can stop this this conspiracy theory that there's nothing going on. I do not have anything against the Chief Franks at the time, nor Officer Newman, and I just want to let everybody know that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Dana Woodruff, 3534 Miramar Drive. I'm concerned about some trending over the last few months. The straw on this is 8.6. This is primarily directed at Ms. Schnell. Please find something, a hobby, volunteer work, where you can lift yourself up without this constant need to tear people down. There's anonymous letters that go out, and now things come up on the agenda nearly constantly. It doesn't do anything for your standing in the community, and it makes you a destructive force in the community. Put that energy into something positive. Volunteer at an animal shelter, Heron Park, whatever you're interested in. I would prefer for our city administrator, instead of having to come up with reports to satisfy whims and vendettas, and most of us are aware of the vendetta against David Stahl, to let him do his job. Because we see what his value is to this community when we're driving along the brand new roads that now we need to reduce speed on, and the GLO grants that are looking to make our waterfront safer for the houses in this community, and our water plants. I don't see any other little cities this size that have been that successful at storm recovery. So let's just let him do his job, and let's cut out the vendettas and try to be a positive influence in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm Mike Clark, 413 Baywood. And kind of in contrast to what Connie just had to say, I would ask city council, city manager, where does the buck stop in Short Acres? When it comes to, the prior chief of police, and the issues with the current chief of police, the issues that we've had with public works and water meters that didn't get read, where does the buck stop? I mean, where I work, if my employees kind of consistently weren't performing up to their responsibilities, somebody's going to be responsible for that. Now, yes, David has done a wonderful job at the grants. So much has been done with Ike Recovery. I've got lots of wonderful things to say, but at the same time, the whole situation is just not, things don't gel. We have a council that every other month we're splitting council on, yes, things like what's coming up today, or naming the building again, for the chief of police that had just left, or the employee of the year for the chief of police that's now out. I mean, things are just not right. The city needs a clear direction. They need a mission. We need to all be working together. All this fractionalism and factionism isn't working.
That's my two cents.
Thanks, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Ellis 414 Baywood. My comments are addressed to David. David, I want to thank you for a job well done. I've enjoyed working with you over the years. I cannot stand to see your name on this agenda tonight. It seems that we are going to have a pattern of putting people on the agenda, ruining their work reputation, humiliate them, and then they get mad and quit, or they leave out of disgust. That's not right. So I am in total agreement that this needs to stop and we need to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Does anyone else wish to address council at this time? Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Mountain. I am a little bit concerned about our water system. First of all, we have a water plant that's going on 8-9 months overdue and being built. So there's, we lost one water supply. Then we have an elevated water tank that, according to the previous reports at council meetings, is deteriorating. And the question is, how far is it going before it has a major failure? And then the next question, that was about 2 years ago, council passed an ordinance to have an interconnect made with the LaPorte line that comes down Broadway, so that in the event we have a catastrophic failure of our water tank, or we don't have a water plant working, we have a source of water. What happened to that ordinance, which was passed about 2 years ago? So that interconnect never happened. Now, I do have one question of the, and I could wait until Mr. Sutton makes his appearance, but my question is, what happens if there is a catastrophic failure of a water tank? I mean, a hole that big instead of, I guess we got a couple weepers right now. I understand, right? We have a small, couple small leaks. If we have a bigger leak, what happens to the community as far as water pressure? Can you answer it now? Do I need to wait, please?
We'll get to that. Okay. Feel free to ask that question when we get to the report. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any others wishing to address council at this time? Yes, sir.
I'm Neil Moyer. I live on North Country Club Drive, and there are two issues I'll try to address briefly. Tumas has pointed something out that I think is fairly evident, and something I pointed out some time ago when North Country Club was done. There's no way of practically controlling people with signs. Signs are up on North Country Club, and it doesn't stop some people, including people who live on North Country Club. I just came off of 3.5 weeks of driving in Mexico, and they have a very effective way of dealing with speeds. They're called topas. We call them speed humps and such here. But one could put in temporary ones using marine rope that's anchored. They'd be put in temporarily to, one, deliver the message that speed needs to be controlled on these streets, and two, once their purpose has been served, they could be removed. And if there's recidivism, then they could be reinstalled. The point is, they don't cost as much as the conventional speed hump. They're readily available. I'm sure there's ropes available from the port. They'd be willing to donate. It's a suggestion. I've made it before with regard to Miramar. I hope maybe it gets a little more consideration. The second point I'd like to address is I'm not here to praise council. I'm here to harry it. It seems like there's a effort on the part of some council members to continue harrying city staff and such. And really, it's pointless. Most of the requests that was made by the council member could be researched independently by that council member or any of the other council members. The information is readily available from the sources. And frankly, spending my taxes, all of our taxes, on having a city administrator defer delayed, deterred from carrying out his duties to carry out something which seems somewhat whimsical, doesn't seem like a practical approach to addressing issues in this city. So I'd strongly recommend that the council, after having given due consideration to the council member's request, that they continue to allow the city administrator to do his job unfettered and with no further demands of this sort on this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Mr. Wells, 3332, Miramar. I hadn't planned on speaking, but since Dana and Vicki and others have spoken about David Stahl, I do want to applaud council for the fantastic job you did looking at our budget and cooling that down, because it is a major concern of citizens about our budget and how much money we have to offer to our city and how long we'll be operating. And I very much appreciate that what you're doing. And a major cost is our city administrator. I've been here long enough to know I came just because it's Julie was before Nancy. So we had a couple of fantastic mayors who were not paid, and we had no city manager. We ran our city without one, and we did a pretty good job. It does take some committed people like Nancy. If you're not going to have a city manager, but I'm sorry, I keep saying the city manager, but my mistake, city administrator. It's something we have to think about. And I know I've been accused in our city of being a liberal, of which I am very much so, but also I also think that we need to stay within our means. And if we don't do that, we won't be here. So I am very happy that our council is looking at our budget, and since our city administrator is a large part of our budget, I appreciate those questions, because I have looked around at other cities and wondered the same thing as some of the questions that we're asking. I hate for it to be a he said, she said, or an us against them, because we are one city of Shore Acres, and we need to do what's best for the city. I also appreciate everybody being here. I've been at most city council meetings, and so has most of our council members. Very few people are not here, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other citizens who wish to address council at this time? Not appearing, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. Item 7.0, City Administrator, General State Report, Dave.
Good evening. The Byway Waterline project is well underway. A couple of the streets have already been bored, and if you drive up Byway towards Fairfield, you'll see a large stack of large water pipe. That will be a significant improvement to our system, and it's the result of a conflict of storm drainage with the road project. So we resolve that problem, and we increase our distribution of water and provide some new fire hydrants with greater capacity to serve that portion of the city. Our field audit work has now been scheduled for this coming year. To look at our last fiscal year, the auditors' current schedule is to arrive here February 17th and spend 2 weeks doing their field audit, in which time they review our records and prepare those documents and then finish them at their office. We have posted the job position for Chief of Police, and as of this afternoon, we have received 22 applications for that position. And our tentative schedule for the Christmas Tree Children's Ornament Decorating is Tuesday, December 3rd, with the city potluck dinner party to be on Thursday, December 5th, here at City Hall. The street and drainage grant project updates. The round 2.2, which is the projects that were overseen by the county, now are past the substantial completion. They've done the walkthrough and the punch list. And the only item now that's outstanding is after the heavy rain event that we had, we were able to go out and observe the system, and we've discovered a couple drain inlets. Specifically, David Sutton and his crew driving during the rain that were too high to properly drain the adjacent residential properties. He met with the county engineers They reviewed that with the contractor, and they will be lowering those inlets to achieve proper drainage. The county is also considering one or two additional street segments. That's good news for us. The one that's on the list fairly firmly is West Forest from Center Street to West Country Club, and that will complete all of the streets in the Country Club addition with concrete, new concrete streets and drainage. So that's good news. If they add a second segment, that was pending. There was an overlap in our follow-on work that's on the agenda tonight for round one, where we're going to do Oakdale and the remaining 700 plus feet of forest. They were planning on doing that piece of forest, and so that was an overlap because of scheduling. And so they've dropped that. So they may substitute in another road or not, but at least we're looking at West Forest, which is a big plus. On the water and sewer grant projects, we've had the contractor make a few visits to the water plant. We're not aware of any substantive work that has been achieved. David Sutton has talked with the engineer as recently as today to determine the status of completing that plant and getting it online, and we're anxious for that to happen. On the emergency dispatch service, as you know, we did approved the contract. We executed a contract with LaPorte. I believe it may be on their city council agenda tonight for approval by the city of LaPorte. We've had a couple of meetings. I've met with the dispatch supervisors and the IT people for the LaPorte Police Department so that we can integrate with that. I have provided certified notice under our contract to Lakeview that we will be ending our agreement with Lakeview on December 30th. December 30th is our projected and planned cutover date of those services. So we're coordinating the radio systems, which in the short term will be Harris County, but we'll all be transitioning to the City of Houston's radio system. They'll be moving the 911 public safety answering point from Lakeview to LaPorte. We're also now looking at the process of getting a user agreement and a consortium agreement to utilize the mobile digital terminals or mobile data terminals, MDTs, and the police cars on the LaPorte system as opposed to just on the GEMS, which we currently do. We'll still have access to the same information. We'll have more information. That opens an opportunity for us to participate in their records management system. As you know, we budgeted this year to purchase inexpensive software to achieve the records management. It looks like we may be able to use the same funds to do a licensing agreement and join the consortium and get on a much superior system to do records management, which will interface then with the jail management system since we use LaPorte Jail, so that our booking records will automatically integrate with our police reports, and we'll get a lot of pluses out of that. It is a consortium of a number of cities, which includes not just LaPorte, but Friendswood, League City, Dickinson, Texas City, and the City of Nassau Bay, the City of Webster. And so there'll be some ability to have benefits of portions of that program that they've put in place to be available to us. So that's very encouraging. We're working now with the vendors to see what the software and hardware costs are that, see if we can do it within our budget. We also, because of the way the system integrates, is they have the ability to write citations using the system, which LaPorte does. So they're generated in the vehicle. We have available to us our Municipal Court Technology Fund, which we always have difficulty in finding eligible items to spend that money on. And so that those funds are also available to assist in putting the MDTs in the cars on that software. So it looks like it may be surprisingly doable, and we're working towards that end. In any rate, we will have radio dispatch. It's all queued up for that to occur on December 30th. But there may be some positive multipliers there. And that is my report.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions from council at this time on any of the four items that were reported?
I just have one question for the dispatch service update. Do you know, are the citizens, how will they be made aware once it is indeed done? Because I know there's a lot of folks in the city that, for example, have security alarms on their house, and it could be no good for them to call it. And so will it be done in a
heavily anticipated timely fashion, or?
We have a large chart of activities that have to integrate. The public outreach and education is one of those, but it can't happen prematurely because we don't have a fixed target date. We're moving towards that direction. We have already changed the publishings for the white pages and yellow pages, which are in the cycle to come out in January, so we'll have the correct numbers there. We have people who have alarm systems and people who use voice over internet, which will have to have the proper 10-digit numbers. And so all of that is being worked out. Of course, the 911 transition will be easy. And on that, I anticipate that we'll be doing a direct mail postcard piece to people so that we can get it in front of them. I don't think that the utility bills are very effective on getting information dependably out. We've had really good luck with the postcards on things like cleanup or the heavy Friday pickups and some of the recycling things that we've done. And then that, we have much more control over the timing of when it hits. But we'll be doing that outreach as in addition to our constant contact and some other things to follow up.
Thank you.
David, on that, just touching base, if I remember right, we don't pay for service now through Lakeview for our alarm systems. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. LaPorte, if I remember right, I think we switch over to LaPorte. Citizens, anybody has alarms like myself, I think we have to apply for a permit, I think.
That's yet to be worked out with LaPorte because their ordinance does not apply to Short Acres. So if there are a couple items like that that they're going to take a wait and see to see what the load is. If they're getting a large enough number of alarm calls here, then they will want to revisit with us about billing us and how we collect. That will be our issue.
Okay.
But that's not something that's going to be a short term immediate issue.
That's fine. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for council? Are there any citizens' questions at this time for Mr. Solomon, his reports? With none appearing, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. 7.2, monthly police department report. Chief?
Actually, Mr. Solomon, I have my report. I do appreciate David's expertise in that area. Number one, it's complicated, but two, anytime you transition with another city like that, there's going to be hills and valleys, and it's we're ahead of the game, believe me. It takes a lot of effort, but you have that in front of you. I decided to pretty much keep the report, generally speaking, as before, because the new chief, I didn't want to change it completely and have him or her change it again, but the name shouldn't be on there. It won't be on there again. But that is pretty much it. But I want to focus just on the award tonight. Just give you a little background on Officer Ford. He wanted to get out of here, and he's actually working down in the street. But he spent 36 years at the Houston Fire Department. He got his peace officer license. He's been an employee here, a cop, for 6 years. And he's a reserve. So what I'm trying to paint for you is it's a special person anyway. He doesn't need the money. Okay? It's almost like a NASA contract, those poor astronauts sitting on that seat going, here I sit by the lowest bidder. Because he responded in such a professional way. I was his backup. I watched him do the whole thing. He refused to let me help him. And I'm sure Mr. Gibson's ribs were sore. That was a good 12 to 15 minutes. On that chest. So, but what I wanted to touch base with you about is something that wasn't mentioned, was after Mr. Gibson was loaded on the ambulance and taken off, Officer Forrest came back and stayed with the family, made sure that they didn't need anything, consoled her, got her off on the ambulance with the medication, and stayed with the family and small children. Number one, made sure that they didn't see what was happening. It was pretty traumatic in the driveway. So, I just wanted to tell you what kind of officer he is and what you're getting. There's a certain value you place on people that you really can't get. And we're paying him the minimum wage to do. So, I just wanted to tell you.
Chief, before we head out, are there any questions from council for Chief this time? Are there any citizens' questions for Chief this time? Very well. Chief, thank you very much for your report.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And with if there are no objections from council, we'll excuse the chief from the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Chief.
Next item on the agenda, 7.3, monthly public works department report. Mr. Sutton. Thanks, sir.
Water purchase drops this month as anticipated to 6.5 million gallons compared to September's purchase of 6.1 million gallons. We did not have any special projects this month. It's mostly comprised of general maintenance and repairs. Water leaks did, however, come back down with only 4 leaks were repaired this month. During the next 2 months, November, December, we'll begin sending staff to classes as this is a requirement for operators for holding licenses. We will also be sending some of our non-licensed staff so they may begin to prepare for some state exams and water and wastewater. Next, that's all I have this month.
Quick question for you. I know that the right-of-way project has been ongoing for quite some time. Is that project finished?
No, sir. It's about 70%.
And if, for the sake of council, could you explain to them what you're trying to accomplish in the right-of-way project?
Yes, sir. We're clearing everything off of the roadway for vehicles, approaching vehicles, boats, anything in the roadway, right-of-way that can be hit by limbs, branches, and also making a 12-foot clearance above every roadway in the city. And like I said, we're about 70% on that.
Very good. Are there any other questions for council at this time? Are there any citizens' questions at this time? Yes, sir.
Chair Victor, 34, Mayor Mark. About the water supply system.
Yes.
Okay. There were some leaks detected, I understand, with the elevated water tank. Can you tell me what type of leaks were? They were in wells or in joints or anything significant?
I'm not aware of any leaks on the elevated itself.
Okay.
To my knowledge, I mean, okay. Unless something was prior to, I don't have any knowledge of any leaks.
Okay, it was mentioned a couple of times. It looks like we will eventually have to maybe pass a bond issue to replace the water tank. I hope that brought up at council. Now, is it in that condition, that poor condition, or how are we with that water tank?
In my opinion, we had an inspection done just after I got here.
Yep.
Of the exterior. I don't believe the interior has been done since. Now, the interior has not been done, but y'all did an inspection, I believe, just before I arrived here. To my knowledge and recollection, that inspection of the interior was in great shape. The exterior had some structural issues. I don't know what all those were. Those were part of my arrival. However, in my opinion, the elevated is just fine as far as
integrity.
Integrity, the structure, everything is fine.
Okay.
I believe we could run another couple, 2 or 3 years with it just fine. From what I've seen, unless there was something on the inspection that happened prior to my arrival, I don't know about.
Okay, then I'll ask you, we haven't seen the inspection report. If that tank fails for whatever reason, can't use that water tank, what kind of pressure will we have in the city if that happened?
It would actually increase a bit, hypothetically. Because we would isolate that elevated tower off, we would pull it out of use, and require the boosters to operate the city out of the ground storage from our feed from either the wells or from the water that we purchase to the port.
I'm assuming that this one isn't working. If this one isn't working, we're relying on the other one at the elevated tower. Is that what you're saying? We would have increased pressure?
Correct.
So why are we messing with an elevated water tank? That's
well,
a question.
Because you're required by law to have so much storage per city. And an elevated is required here because of the population size. So that's why we do it. But if it were to go out of service, we would temporarily be able to turn it off, get rid of it, and actually increase pressure a bit because the pumps would take over.
Okay.
instead of just the grounding from the elevator tower.
Okay, now, one other question. If we should decide that we need an elevated water tank, is there any possibility we can tie in to the LaPorte's tank, which is closer to City Hall than ours? Did anybody ever look into that prospect, let's say? And I'm going to throw it out there, not to do anything about it now, but maybe that's something to consider. If we have to have an elevated tank, there's one closer to City Hall than ours. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions for Mr. Sutton? Yes, sir.
Hey, David. Can you tell us about the city policy on your employees using city vehicles to go outside the city limits for lunches, breaks, whatever? And also, the policy, I know that Mr. Sutton has previously stated during budget talks that we have one employee for 8 hours per week that does the recycling program, but for the last 3 weeks, I've seen two employees carrying the load to LaPorte on Wednesday, which is the second day after. Can you talk about both of those things?
Yes. As far as lunches, we do absolutely allow them to leave the city. Not everybody. Their work's completed. I've always allowed them to go. Usually,
the city did.
Yes, sir. Usually with one person. They go. They get food. They either bring it back here or eat it on. I've seen them sometimes eat it on the way back here. On very few occasions, I have allowed employees to have a sit-down lunch outside the city because we don't have anything to eat here in the city unless they bring their lunch. So there have been some instances, yes, that I've allowed that as well. And the second one, the last 2 weeks, I believe it's been, the back end of the trailer, we're waiting for an appointment that's scheduled for this Thursday. The back cage is loose. I made the decision that when they go to empty that trailer, because it's on roadway at 45 miles an hour plus, that if it were to come loose, I would like to have someone else with them to direct traffic for a cleanup. So the last 2 weeks, I've allowed employees to go with them. We've been doing two employees on Wednesday afternoon, or Wednesday morning, so, to go and get a report.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions? Yes, sir.
I'm Neil Moyer, North Country Club Drive. We have a somewhat ancient water system, at least one on the ground, and now that Proposition 6 has passed, it would seem that time is of an essence to A, find out what sort of measures Proposition 6 will allow for funding to cut down on water losses through municipal distribution systems, and to make such applications as soon as possible once we find out what's going to be covered. I don't know for a fact what it's going to take to get that information out of the requisite state agency. I'm not even sure which state agency is going to be involved, but that's something that probably needs to be ferreted out in a fairly timely way, since there are going to be other places in the state of Texas which are going to be going for really big bucks. And my sense is, if you've got something that's less costly but just as vital for saving water in this community, the sooner we can take advantage of that, the sooner we can get in under the wire, more likely a small, comparatively, expenditure of those funds will have a chance of success. As I understand, there's two things there. There's loans, which have to be paid back without interest, I understand, and there may be some other alternative, may possible grant aspects, but it seems like time is of essence. And that's something which hopefully the city administrator will be allowed to pursue in a timely fashion.
Interesting. Is there anything else, sir?
No, I'm talking my mouth off.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions for Mr. Sutton? Very well. With that, Gary, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And if there are no objections, council will dismiss Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is 8.0 business, 8.1 consideration and approval of invoices. Has council had opportunity to review invoices? And if so, I will entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve invoices on 8.1.
Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
Okay.
Nancy, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? None appearing, the motion carries. Item 8.2, consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2013-148, awarding a contract for construction two city streets and associated drainage identified as street segments 33 East Forest and 36 Oakdale, as set out on the city street maintenance map. David?
Yeah, we put these two projects out for bid. We received six qualified bidders, and you have a bid tabulation sheet in your packet from the engineer. You have our project engineer recommendation that this contract be awarded to the low bidder, which is Marcon Services, which is the contractor who did both our round one and the county's round 2.2 projects. And we have received our authority to use grant funds from the General Land Office, from the GLO, and that's in your packet. And I've also included a map so that you can see where those two street segments are. But for clarification, it is Oakdale from Byway to Old 146, which is the street right behind City Hall. And there's 719 feet of forest that where the funding stopped between Byway and Old 146. So it comes from Old 146 to where the existing concrete is at.
And this will be concrete street?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the specifications are identical to that of the streets that we've been building, width and drainage.
Is there any discussion for council at this time? Any questions, concerns? Citizens have any concerns, comments on item 8.2? There are not appearing. Does council wish to make a motion at this time?
I make a motion. We adopt ordinance 2013-148. We do street repairs specified.
I'll second. Rick, we have a motion that's been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? None appearing. Motion carries. Item 8.3, discussion, consideration, and possible action to create a hiring committee for upper management positions. Rick?
I put this in. I think I worded a little bit wrong to David, and that's my fault, and I apologize. But what I wasn't talking about all upper management. What I was looking at is just the police department. I know we, the citizens have addressed their concerns over the changes we've had recently with police chiefs and whatnot. So, in all fairness to our citizens and ourselves trying to get this right, I thought it would be a good idea to basically have our interim chief that's here now, possibly on a committee, getting the approval of the board and seeing what they thought about this, along with one council member, along with the mayor and the city administrator. So you have four people looking at this position when we select the final chief position. You'd have input from one, an officer, whether it be myself as a council member being a former officer and being an officer, or one of the other council members, it doesn't matter to me, just so we have a little bit more intel there and make a good, firm decision. Whomever we bring into this position, I'd like to see this person, part of the question, but grow gray and old here with us. We want to get, you know, get solid in the feet, get back, you know, get back on the saddle again, get things going. So with that being said, I'm just throwing this out there to get the rest of the council and the citizens' comments and see what they think about something of that nature.
Mayor? Thank you, Rick. Any questions or comments from council at this time?
I think it's a great idea. Chief Matthew has already, last week when he gave his report of his findings, made it be known that even if he is no longer serving the capacity of chief of police here, that he is willing to come back and help us with that hiring process, and I think that's an invaluable resource. I think it's an excellent idea.
You're talking about this just for the police department?
Yes, sir. Just for this one position. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. Just for the chief's position.
And four people on it would be who now?
Well, it would be, of course, the mayor, David, one council member, whomever we decide want to do it, along with the chief master. And I don't have a problem volunteering to do it, but if someone else wants to do it, that's fine. I'm just somebody from the council.
Do we have a coded ordinance that this would run afoul?
No.
Who would have the final say? I mean, you got four people, right?
Two-thirds vote. Some mayor vote. I don't know. That's a hard choice. I think that needs to be further discussed. This is just opening and cracking the ice right here. So, I mean, we're still taking applications until the 22nd, isn't it, David?
Yes.
So I think this is just something to, you know, mull over right now. I'll let you start thinking about it. In the next council meeting, we can bring it to a head.
There's no other council discussion at this time. We'll open up to public comment. Yes, ma'am.
Diane Victor, 3346 Miramar. I recommend that you add a citizen to that committee, similar like you did the audit committee. I recommend that will give you five people then of being involved. That's all I agree.
Are there any other questions at this time? Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. Maybe I missed the conversation, but the temporary chief, isn't his money about to run out?
He has assumed the position of and the pay of our okay. original chief until such time as we can replace. So the answer to your question is yes, and the follow-on was he's temporarily filling the position at a reduced pay. Are there any other questions at this time?
Front House was 14-0. I like the concept of the committee, but there needs to be a scope around the committee, I think, of what the responsibilities are. I mean, should I have the final hiring power? That decision should be left to the council. So there, in my opinion, the role should be to, here's our recommendation, or talk to recommendations you guys have said.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's intended.
You're on it.
And then the mayor would have a vote in that committee. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Yes, sir. I don't believe you've had a chance to speak.
David Jennings, 1017 West 4th Avenue. Diane stole my thunder there. Yes, we need a citizen's rep also, and I would also highly recommend that Alderman Moses be the council rep. And in answer to Ms. Alderman Bunker's question, the final decision will be with the five council alder members, and that's just my ordinance. So they will do the hiring, actually. So.
Are there any other questions? Yes, sir.
I'm Neil Moyer, North Country Club Drive. You've got 22 applicants now, maybe some more. That's about the same number, with my recollection, as the last time around. No, the mayor actually saw more applications than we may have been aware of.
David, how many applications were submitted prior to Chief Newman's resignation?
For the filling the position previously?
Yes.
48.
So the point being that if any of those people are still interested, they've either already filed or they still have a chance to file. And I'm thinking you've got a committee there that maybe shouldn't be going through all the weeds in order to find a couple of good or three or four good candidates. And maybe that process should be still conducted administratively by the city administrator and the mayor, and then allow the
committee should go ahead with that and do a more thorough vetting of the top candidates. Otherwise, it's going to look like it's not going to look like a regular process. But there's certainly irregularities that could have the appearance there.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions or concerns at this time? Yes, sir.
Cody Bunker, 2220. Whenever the applicant deals been, I think I heard somebody say the 22nd is when that'll be the final turn-in for applicants. Is that when the chief now is going to keep going, or is he going to stay until finding the chief and then go to where we want to have no chief sitting at the station?
The intent is to have the current interim chief in place until the new chief is selected. At that point, we would have a transition of duties upon that person's hiring, upon the new chief's hiring. We do not intend to have a vacancy at that position until we have a new chief in place. Are there any other questions at this time? No appearing, does council wish to take action at this time? If not, we'll move on to item 8.4. Consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2013-151, amending the city code requirement for substance abuse testing. Nancy?
Thank you, Mayor. This came up at last week's meeting where there was some confusion, and David Stahl mentioned to council that maybe that our city code needed to be a little bit more directive and clarified as to what the policy is for substance abuse in light of some things that have happened in the last few years. And so I did not remove anything from the existing code. I just added some points of clarification that where I added the city's employees and interests of the city, because it is, as a public employer, the city is entrusted with protecting the health and safety of not just the citizens, but its employees in the best interest of the city. And the substance abuse policy as it was written didn't quite do that. And so therefore I made clarifications, as you will note, that to include damage to any city property, shore acres or otherwise, or private property requiring repair. And that there is repercussion of the failure of staff to do such, because the original ordinance, it said any work-related injury or accident, and that has not been followed. And so I also put in the word reportable, and that's based on OSHA findings. So then if you go to the back page of this, under Section 8, it says reportable work-related injury, and this is based on OSHA 29 CFR 1904.7, Section 8 for OSHA standards. It says it's the definition of a reportable work-related injury, and it says any work-related injury or illness that results in any of the following: death, stays away from work, restricted work or transfer to another job, medical treatment beyond first aid, or loss of consciousness. Also includes any significant work-related injury or illness diagnosed by a physician or other licensed healthcare professional, even if it does not result in death, days away from work, restricted work, or job transfer, medical treatment beyond first aid, or loss of consciousness. So this, you know, if you get stung by a bee and it's just a bee sting, you don't go into anaphylaxis, it's not work-related injury by that definition. OSHA is very clear on that. And so that's why I put that in there. This gives guidance and direction as to what the enforcement policy should be. Because as it was stated before, every single time if somebody stubbed their toe, we should be taking them for a drug test. And contrary to what was mentioned last meeting, they're not that expensive. I think my husband's company, they like $80, and I think you can generally get them for like $55. So, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick. That's kind of your cup of tea. Am I in the ballpark?
You can get them some, depending on where you go, but $35 enough.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy. Is there any questions or consideration from council at this time?
I have a question. I think this is a good clarification of injury. I still have a question about damage to any, this is new language, damage to any city property, Shore Acres or otherwise. So if a police officer drops a radio and breaks it, we drug test him? If a clerk pulls a piece of the copy machine off by accident and breaks it, we drug test her?
I gotcha. Okay, very much so. And the reason I put Shore Acres or otherwise, for example, the runaway trailer that totaled that city Pasadena, or in the public works truck, because then if you put the word substantial, then you've got to give the definition of substantial.
Yeah. The defining is the sticking point, it seems like, and it can be a bit problematic.
If I may add, you know, well, as a city entity, we don't fall under OSHA. There's the CFR 49.4 is very clear. That's DOT regulations. The city, my understanding, from David's point, basically was trying to regulate the best way we can with the city ordinance, is trying to avoid that, basically, for every little thing. Now, I do agree if we have any incidents that cause bodily injury or cause to equipment, things of that nature, no doubt. You know, in my business that I deal with in industrial medicine, we basically end up, most companies do a drug screen on any little detail. But that, they fall under OSHA, that's a whole different ball of wax. This does not. So I think here the defining is saving the citizens money. However, we don't want someone that is with a positive, you know, could be a possible positive drug screen out there. However, I think that we have to define this, be a little bit more clear on how we're going to word this to make sure, because then you can end up opening up a bigger ball of problems here. You know, but you make a very good point. You know, if one of the guys are over here in one of the trucks and he backs the truck into another truck because he's not paying attention, I think he should be sent for a drug screen. But, you know, if he drops a radio or basically, you know, hits, is in a forklift and drops a rock on top of something and breaks it down.
The problem with, and excuse me for interrupting, but with any of these type scenarios, it's usually a discretionary thing with the supervisor.
Thank you.
Okay? We're trying to define every scenario out there, and that's virtually impossible.
That's right.
It's
going to be a case by case.
There are reasons why you have supervisors in any position, and they're responsible for their employees and the actions of their employees and the expenses that are incurred if something like this happens. I don't think anyone is intelligent enough to be able to write down every scenario that could possibly happen and capture it in an ordinance. I think anyone that tries is a fool.
Well, my point is, he pretty much finished it up, is, you know, we basically have a policy, and I think maybe you could reword it a little bit if you wanted, but it should be up to the supervisor to dictate, like per se before, you know, whether it's in there or not. So, and that's just my opinion. I think that you start rewording it too much, then you're going to open yourself up to liabilities. So,
I, you know, I'm a big advocate of not reinventing the wheel. So I reached out to Baytown, LaPorte, Seabrook, Pasadena. None of them have a city ordinance or city code for substance abuse testing at all. None. They do have a personnel policy that says where there's reasonable suspicion, the supervisor can test. I think we would be better served to rewrite the policy that we have, that we've enshrined as an ordinance into the city code, to say that whenever there is an injury of a certain level that we test every time. I don't see any downside of that. You're sending somebody off to be treated. Yeah. And then on the damage to equipment, that opens the door so that the supervisor can require the testing without reaching the same level as the reasonable suspicion. In other words, he doesn't have to articulate what it was you did that indicated you might be abusing a substance. If you back into something, he can send you for drug test. If you drop a radio, he can send you for drug test. You know, based on that as a threshold, but not require it every time we have somebody do something like that. we've got to exercise some discretion at some point.
Well, see, I have a problem with that discretion when a public works truck ends up totaled and no one would touch it. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that kind of discretionary power when a minor mishap turned into a $17,000 loss to the city. And that is
those circumstances were made available and plain to everyone.
Not until I sent an email. But I do have a problem with that. Now, departmental discretion is one thing, but it needs to be departmental discretion. Supervisor discretion. And it needs to be right there. Not anything further up the chain of command. So I'm understanding that you're wanting to completely remove part of the city code, section 2, check 109, as far as substance abuse that's been in place for quite some time in our city code in its entirety and just make it a matter of personnel policy. Is that correct?
I don't even know where to begin there. I get that you don't like me making any decisions. I get that part. But I'm not going to always be sitting in this seat, and it's absolutely ludicrous to have a city administrator who can't require an employee to have a drug test, and that employee needs to have a drug test, just because the department supervisor doesn't think so.
Well, what was just said was it should be up to the discretion of the supervisor.
It's a whole chain of command. If the department head, if the field supervisor doesn't think it's necessary, and the department head doesn't think it's necessary, and the city administrator doesn't think it's necessary, I still think it's entirely appropriate for the mayor to say, it's necessary, take the test. All the way up the chain. And at whatever point you hit somebody who says you need to take a test, take the test. I think we can craft something and bring back to council that would accomplish that.
I agree. In light of that, I will rescind the discussion of ordinance 2013, section 115.
Are you wishing to lay this on the table, or?
I'm just wishing to go ahead and table it.
Table? We have a motion to table 8.4. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None appearing. Motion carries.
Who was the second, please?
That was Rick. Okay. Item 8.5, consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2013-152, amending the city code to specify that physical placement of the recorder used to record city council meetings. Nancy?
Yes. I feel that it's unfortunate that I had to place this. I did send an email. I received several phone calls and emails from citizens. They really, really enjoy having a digital recording. I visually, you were one of the reporters. You said, I can multitask in my office and listen at the same time on the off chance that you missed something. Even when Mr. Krause was speaking, it was hard to hear him. When Alderman Jones is speaking, it's almost impossible. You can hear me, because I think it's a pitch thing. You can hear me. But it's hard to hear people when they're commenting. And with the recorder all the way down there, you can hear everything that's going on right there very, very well. Mayor, there have been times I haven't even been able to understand what you said, and you, Mr. Butcher.
I know.
Well, okay. That being said, it just makes good and logical sense. So I sent an email out before the last meeting saying, this is what I've received from citizens, from employees, places in the middle. I don't want to have to amend the ordinance because it's kind of embarrassing to have to sit down and direct somebody to put something in a logical place. And so this is what this is. The only thing that's changed is it shall be placed in front of the mayor or in the center of the lateral desk of the commonly used city council meeting table or in the center of discussion where a meeting of council is held. So if we have an executive session back here in the common room or whatever is in the center of the table. And that makes sense to me. The mayor is the chair of this meeting. He runs the meeting. It should be there, and it's equal distance for everyone. And citizens stand right there and speak in front of the mayor. So I'm just asking council to please make that directive so that everyone is heard, because I really can't hear you ever. And then some people are very soft-spoken, and it's hard to hear them, like Miss Wells there. She's very soft-spoken, so it's hard to hear. And it's not my opinion necessarily, because I can still hear me. But it's also, I'm having a hard time understanding some of the citizens as well, even when they're there. So I'm just asking council to please consider amending this to direct placement.
Thank you, Nancy. Are there any questions from council at this time? Concerns or discussion? There's another hearing. Are there any citizens who wish to comment on this particular item? Yes, sir.
I should have a comment about the protesting. Can we close the
we tabled that item for the, I believe it's next meeting.
I just want to mention that every agency, company I've been associated with, or had my company had contracts with, had drug testing policies, including the federal government, and they required our contractors to have drug testing policies, which cover recordable injuries for OSHA recordables, and then usually set a dollar amount. $1,000, it's not $50, $1,000 or above. Coast Guard regulation is $25,000. So what I'm really saying is,
I can appreciate your,
and I don't know.
I appreciate your comments, but we're off of item 8.5 at this time.
All right. That was the previous conversation.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, now this current one, I don't have any comments.
Thanks, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I too would stand enjoy the recording. That's an excellent idea. And you can go back and listen. And if there's something you can't remember exactly who said what, you can go back and listen. So anything that you can do to improve the quality of those recordings, I wish you would look into and do, because this has just brought this meeting into the 21st century. It's very helpful. And there's a lot of people that don't come to the meetings that do listen to them.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other? Yes, sir.
Dan Crouse, I'm pretty sure this board, you all know how I feel about the situation. I don't think it's requiring an ordinance change in order to modify the situation. It seems to me only logical that it's not just the secretary, or in this case, the assistant, that needs to have a recorder near them. The mayor needs to have a recorder near him or her, and should be supplied with multiple tapes at the beginning of the meeting. So I'm sure they would be adequately able to make the changes as necessary when needed.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions at this time? Concerns, comments? No appearing. Does council wish to take any action on item 8.5?
I make a motion to approve ordinance 2013-152, amending the city code as to the directive of placement of an audio recorder.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Discussion?
Discussion?
I'd like to make a comment. This recorder is my personal recorder. Until we acquire one, my plan and goal was to have a microphone placed somewhere away from the recorder that will record the room, perhaps even on the ceiling above the center so we can get people in the room. That's not putting the recorder down there. That's just miking it. And we've only gone for 3 or 4 meetings that we've been recording them. I think that's a short-term fix, and we're putting it in the code to require a recorder down there. In one of the workshops, the battery died unexplicably and had to be replaced. I'm responsible for seeing a city secretary that is recorded. I have no ability to control what's happening or to know that it's being recorded, whereas here I can monitor and make sure that it is picking up, and perhaps it won't even be portable equipment. Something is reasonable that would record that. So I understand what the issue is, and we can work towards addressing that and get what everybody wants, and that is a good recording of the whole room. I'm just saying that if you put this in the code, it's going to be a portable recorder, and it's going to be over there, and we may miss some meetings altogether.
Mr. It just says that it needs to be digitally audio recorded. It doesn't say portable stick.
This amendment, though, says a recorder shall be placed in front of the mayor. It's very clear what it says.
We have a motion that has been seconded. All those in favor? All those opposed?
Aye.
Opposed. The motion does not carry.
Yeah.
On item 8.6, yes, sir.
I would not. 8.5. Never mind.
Mr. Mayor? Yes, sir.
Item 8.6.
Yes.
I move to postpone indefinitely item 8.6 on the agenda.
We have a motion to postpone indefinitely item 8.6 on the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Stephen? Stephen will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
And the motion carries. And Nancy, you have the opportunity to express your opinion.
The reason I put this on the agenda is I know that all of this information is available through the Public Information Act. Now, me as one person, I can do that. So I'm blue in the face or get done typing or what have you. However, because of HOMA, I can't share that with my council members. Now, we do have a contract, Mr. Stahl's contract. But it's not picking on Mr. Stahl. I agree with what Charlie Sliver said. That we have a contract that is coming up that will expire or automatically renew February the 16th. And this was in an effort to educate council. I have doubts that council was privy to this information in the past. And I wanted to make sure that all of council knew these things to be able to make a fiscally responsible decision, especially with the financial shape that our city is in. And that's why I put it on there. It doesn't say anywhere about discussion of this response contract. Doesn't say discussion of what he makes right now. It was just directing, allowing council to follow what is allowed in our city code under section 281B to allow us to direct that these questions be answered before we go in blindly and either in renew a contract or not. We really need to know numbers. So, although I'm disappointed, that was my reason for putting that on there. It's not personal, it's called fiscal responsibility. I'm trying to get some back. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Item 8.7, discussion, consideration, and action to cancel the fourth Monday City Council meeting in December to have been held on December 23rd, 2013. That is very near to the point in time where I would expect some folks would appreciate a bit of latitude when it comes to attendance and participate and travel during that time frame. If council agrees with that, then I would propose that we cancel that particular council meeting based off of it being really close to Christmas.
I'll make a motion we accept proposal 8.7 to cancel the regular fourth Monday City Council meeting.
I'll second. I think Rick beats you the ones there. We have a motion that's been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the motion carries. I do believe at this time we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Rick, second. Mike with the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned at 8:24.